Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
You know, it's the finished work of the cross that puts us in that place of forgiveness. While you were a sinner, while you were steeped in sin, while you were locked into the things that were working against God, God had sent His Son to die for you. I can't get over the fact that Easter is becoming such a watered down holiday weekend for so many people. That what was considered sacred is now just considered another time not to work. I want to just bring a message this morning in the few minutes I have out of the passage where Jesus explains to His disciples that He can't be with them much longer. If you've got your Bibles here this morning, we're in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. You know, we're not playing football today. We're here to acknowledge the sacrifice that God made through His Son, Jesus. Jesus had spent time with His disciples explaining that the time was coming where He would leave earth. He would no longer be with them. And it begins in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 16, and we're only going to read a few verses here this morning. It says, "From that time forth, Jesus began clearly to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the high priests and the scribes and be killed. And on the third day, be raised from the dead." I often ponder scriptures like this in light of where I would sit if I was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. If I'd been one of the 12, if I'd been one of the followers and heard Jesus say these words, how would that resound in my spirit? What would I be thinking? What would I be saying? I think this is one of those great passages that Matthew records what's going on, and it resounds well to me for this Good Friday service. Verse 22, "Then Peter took Him aside to speak to Him privately, and began to reprove and charge Him sharply, saying, 'God forbid, Lord, this must never happen to You.'" Isn't it interesting that our great friend Peter, the radical fisherman, the guy that will do anything and say anything, sometimes right, sometimes wrong, and he hears in his heart that his Lord, Jesus the Christ, is going to suffer at the hands of man and be killed. He takes Jesus aside. "Get behind Me," what does it say in your Bible? "Satan, you are in My way." The Amplified says, "an offense and a hindrance and a snare to Me. For you are minding partakes not of the matter and quality of God, but of man." Peter, stop thinking in a earthly manner. Start thinking as a spiritual man of God. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to be My disciple, let him deny himself, disregard lose sight of and forget himself and his own interests and take up his cross and follow me. The Amplified again says, cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. For whoever is bent on saving his own temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose it. And whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake, shall find it, that is life everlasting. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? I want to just stop and pause on that point this morning. We're surrounded by a community, we're surrounded by a society that it is literally, and I can use these words here, hell-bent on achieving their whole world, whatever that may look like, with complete disregard to the life that Jesus sacrificed in order that we would live. Disregarding what's going to happen on the other side of death, when death occurs, when life on earth here finishes. What do you do? Where do you go? Do you wait till you're on your deathbed and then say, well, perhaps I can say a quick prayer? Perhaps I can go down to the local church and put in some money into their building fund or into their feed the hungry fund, or perhaps I can just go and get the priest and he can bless me in my parting. You and I have embraced our future already by accepting Jesus as Lord. You and I have literally taken up our cross to follow him. And here Jesus in this passage is trying to get a message through to his followers that even in their time, in their space, there's a world that's trying to get everything and disregarding the everything that's being offered them. And that is eternal life and a blessed life here on earth. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. The passage closes with Jesus saying, assuredly I say to you, assuredly or truly, the Bible might say, verily, verily, assuredly I say to you, though there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I want to just share some thoughts quickly here this morning in the time we've got about this passage that Jesus gives us and what it means to us with Sunday fast approaching. Taking notes this morning, the first point I want to make is this, that Friday is the road to Sunday. Aren't you glad as Christians we know the outcome of what is proclaimed as Good Friday? Aren't you glad as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ that we know that on the third day he arose and he lives forevermore? You see, Good Friday is the day when we're meant to remember the crucifixion of Jesus. But friends, there's more than just remembering. Our job as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ is to call people to the cross. I was talking to a man the other day and he made a comment about hot cross buns not being in the Bible. And somebody had challenged him, why would you eat a hot cross bun days before Good Friday or Resurrection Sunday? And he says, well, it just doesn't mean anything to me. It's not in the Bible. So I can eat hot cross buns in January when they hit the shelves in Woolies and Coles and everywhere else. And I said, traditionally, you know, The hot cross buns were made with the cross on top of them to remind us on Good Friday and over that whole weekend. It's the weekend that we're celebrating. It was a celebration of Jesus' sacrifice. And the cross was there on that bun at no other time in the year but at Easter time to remind us of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And if we want to embrace the crucifixion, then we must embrace the cross and all it stands for. You know, I can remember many sermons. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday today, but Sunday's coming. But on Friday, it was Jesus who hung on the cross. It was Friday that Jesus allowed himself to be brutalized and nailed to that cross. Yes, Sunday's coming. But without our Friday, we would have no Sunday. But Friday is the road to Sunday. You see, there's no resurrection Sunday if we don't have Good Friday. There's no resurrection if you don't have the cross. Our job as followers of Jesus is to tell them that the Good Friday that we celebrate at Easter time is for all of us. It's not just the church people. The world needs to hear why we get so excited about Good Friday, and it's not the fact that they're going to start playing football on Fridays. Point number two, everyone has a problem with the cross. Everyone. You see, Jesus knew what was before him. In his passage, he draws his disciples aside and he says to them, this is what's going to happen. I need to get to Jerusalem. I need to allow those leaders to arrest me. I need those people to try me. I need those people to convict me. I need those people to nail me to the cross. I need to die. I don't know whether you've ever followed leadership that talked like that. Particularly the closing line, I need to die. My bosses that I've always worked for said I need to live. Even those diagnosed with sicknesses, with the disease in their body, I need to live. I need to live for my wife. I need to live for my family. I need to provide a future for my grandchildren. I need to make sure that everything's in place before I die. But here we see Jesus preparing himself and trying desperately to prepare his disciples of what lies ahead. The very idea of Good Friday to me as a young boy growing up brought concerns that Jesus would allow himself to be nailed to such a device with these horrible nails put through his hands and his feet. We've got to understand that it's both his power and it's his wisdom that led Jesus to the cross. It's a brutal denial, if you like, of everything he's done leading up to this time. He's talking about the power and the presence of the kingdom of God. He's talking about the coming of heaven to earth. He talks about signs, wonders, and miracles, and people experience them. He has the power to change planet Earth without dying. Yet he also has the power combined with the wisdom to allow himself to die like a normal human being. He seems almost powerless. He seems almost like he lacks the wisdom to get through this if you look at it through natural eyes. You wonder why God would send his son to die. For us, surely God could have made a better plan than that. But listen to how John records this particular scenario in John chapter 12 and verse 24. It says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, watch this, the passage says, it abides alone. Think of Jesus, Son of God. here on earth, the Son of God here on earth. He's got the full power, the full authority, the full wisdom and knowledge of heaven. And he's got to die. He's got to allow himself to be executed by mankind in order to bring a resolve, in order to bring a solution to what's going on. Let's read this passage carefully. Unless, opening line, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. Jesus could have lived through eternity here on earth. We could have still been having revival meetings with Jesus present. Passage says, but if it dies, it produces many. These are not merely the words of Jesus, but his very life as a parable. I've got to die, he says, because if I don't, I'm just going to keep on doing what I've been doing day after day after day after day after year after year, after generation after generation. And people will come to me and they'll die. And when they die, there's no future for eternity. It wasn't just a problem for people today that the cross was the way Jesus had to die, but it's a problem for us today. You see, people I speak to, and probably people you speak to, have a problem with the cross. Religious people want miracles. They want the power of God to come through and take Jesus away from that death. Intellectuals want a reason why a man who called himself the Son of God would allow himself to be brutalized and executed in that way. But what God offers us first is the cross. In 1 Corinthians 1, if you'd like to come there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, I think Paul captured well what he was saying about the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. And it says, we preach Christ the Messiah crucified, preaching which to the Jews is a scandal and an offense, offensive stumbling block that brings a snare or trap, and to the Gentiles it is absurd and utterly unphilosophical nonsense. But to those who are called, whether Jew or Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This can be a stumbling block to us today, just as it was in the time of the church in Corinth. That both his power and also his wisdom led Jesus to the cross. Can you work that out in your natural mind? That the power that's within him, the wisdom that's within him, still leads him to that place of death. People don't want to think about that. What sort of God would send his son to be executed in such a way? Who wants to understand the sufferings of Christ? You ever notice that things are always darkest before they go pitch black? And then in the blackness of things, the truth comes through and the light begins to shine. It's always darkest before the dawn, is that common saying. And through Jesus going to the cross, that dark time in his life, comes the light of the world, which is eternal life found only through him. Point number three, Friday means the beginning of change. To me, Good Friday proclaims an opportunity, that gives us all an opportunity to proclaim, once you've been to the cross, once you've had that revelation of the power of the cross, everything changes. We're looking at an empty cross today, but on that day, what we now call Good Friday, Jesus was hanging on the cross. He'd been nailed to that wooden cross. My Savior, my Lord, hanging on that cross was a stumbling block. Why? Why, Jesus? Why? Why would you hang on a cross? What is the purpose? You know, couldn't you have just called down that legion of angels? Couldn't you have just ask the Father to use someone else? The wisdom and the power of the cross changes everything. Friends, today if something's pursuing you, perhaps that thing when it catches you will change everything for you on the other side of the cross. If nothing seems to be changing, then perhaps you haven't been to the cross. Why was Jesus in such a rush to get to heaven? Why doesn't the cross fit into our picture of how Jesus would save the world? Would things be different if he chose another way? Would things be different if God intervened like he did for Abraham at the sacrifice of Isaac? At that last moment when that first nail was about to go and God suddenly caused the earth to shake and provided another substitute. Just because it doesn't fit into our picture doesn't mean it doesn't fit into God's plan. So for Friday is the road for Jesus, and Friday is the road for us also. It leads us to the cross. Number four, to me, the cross demonstrates faith over circumstances. Can we be honest today as a congregation? Can we say God promises that he'll never leave you, that he'll never forsake you, and hold that as true in every situation? Can we say it, but in our heart actually say, well, God, I'm not totally convinced that that'll work this time? Two phrases that Jesus uttered from the cross resound in my spirit when I prepare for an Easter message. The first one being, my God, why have you forsaken me? And those closing lines, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Friends, how can those two go together? Jesus, right to the end, showed us how much to trust our Heavenly Father beyond the circumstances. I've never witnessed the crucifixion, have you? Have you been at the foot of the cross as they drive those first nails in? Have you been there when they'd hoist that cross up and drop it into the hole in the ground where it's to sit? It's one of the most horrendous, torturous ways to end a man or a woman's life. And Jesus did it for you and for me. In his pain, in his agony, not just the physical agony, but the spiritual weight of your sin and of my sin as he's hanging on that cross. The weight of the world's sin, both current where he was at, future sin to come, is upon him hanging on that cross. And he knows that his father hasn't forgotten him. He knows he's got to go through this sacrifice as the Lamb of God. But in this passage in Matthew, he predicts his death, but also speaks of his resurrection. It's one thing to predict your future, it's another thing to go to the cross willingly for the sake of someone else. There's at least three times in the scriptures that Jesus shares his destiny with his disciples, and yet they still didn't understand. And yet most challenging to me is that Jesus accepted and embraced his destiny by faith in his Father. He knew beyond knowing that his Father promised him resurrection from the grave, a life after death, a proof to this world that God is who he says he is and God can do what he says he'll do. Death still lay ahead of him. And death was still death, even for Jesus. It was trust in his Father's promise that caused him to wage everything he had. I mean everything. His very life, his existence, his understanding of pain, the sacrifice that he had to make. But as a man, Jesus modeled himself and modeled to us how to trust the Father. Did you think about that? That this is not just some little story about a man who allowed himself to be nailed to a wooden cross for the sake of someone. This is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who came to earth, sent by his Father to give us life eternal, to set us free from the traps and the snares of sin, the one who's promised life after death. How did he do it? He took that road to Sunday. He showed us by example that there's a way that's beyond death as we understand it. And he promised and he trusted his Father so much that he was prepared to go through that in order that we can have this. I don't know how you share your Easter with others. I don't know what sacrifice you've made to be here today. I don't know what you've given up to be here today. But if we can hold on to this one thing, that the Christ, Jesus, knew what he was about to face, and he willingly went on your behalf, so you could celebrate not just life after death, but life on earth in him and through him. Amen? Sunday's a different day, only because you read the book. Sunday did not look promising to the disciples on the day when they saw their beloved Lord nailed to that tree. How many times would Jesus have to tell you that this is it? I need to get to Jerusalem. I need to suffer at the hands of men. I need to be brutally punished and tortured. I need to carry this heavy wooden cross up the road to the place called Calvary, the place of the skulls. I need to allow them to nail me to this tree. I need to die. Really, Jesus? Isn't there a better way out? And his reply is no. I must do this for you. Friends, today I hear in my heart those words, I did this for you. Can you hear those same words from Jesus today? That what he did what he allowed mankind to do to him, he did that for you. What good news we have on Good Friday. How can you be glad on Good Friday? Because Friday is the road to Sunday. And Sunday is the day we celebrate the resurrection of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We wouldn't have seen it from that passage in Matthew. We wouldn't have seen it in the reports by Luke. We wouldn't have seen it if we were situated on that day of crucifixion. But today we see it. We say, thank you, God, for your Son Jesus. Thank you, God, for all you've done. Amen.